Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSE here at Tab, and he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC on this Saturday morning, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, questions, and concerns. And as usual and customary, we do have some news for you, technology news we want to bring up. So, Bob, you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
What do you got?
Okay. Nikola.
Nikola, not the cough drop, though.
Yeah, they make
electric.
They run on fuel cells, hydrogen powered.
Right.
Okay, supposedly.
Right. Get right on that microphone, so we have people hear you.
All right. So Nikola is subject to U.S. Department of Justice inquiries, report said.
Mm-hmm.
While the Justice Department hasn't launched an investigation, it has started inquiring about the claims, according to the report. The U.S. Department of Justice has reportedly started digging into the accusations brought against hydrogen electric startup truck Nikola, the Financial Times reported Tuesday, citing sources familiar with the discussions. The Department of Justice began inquiries into the accusations, which include overpromising prototype vehicle capabilities, inflating employee experience, and a lack of actual proprietary technology.
Oh, boy.
According to the report, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York is specifically interested in the information, financial research firm and short seller Hindenburg. That published last week. Above all the accusation, Hindenburg called the startup company an intricate fraud.
So this is where short sellers can actually be of use. This is a company who said, "This is." I do think hydrogen is the future as far as power goes, but the short sellers have an interest in having the stock tank, and so they're going to talk about it being a fraud.
They have actually financial interest
in
the stock, so they can, if it fails, they can short sell.
They can make a lot of money.
So
that's a little bit of a watchdog, so go ahead and see what they talked about.
Since the report's publishing, Nikola has released a multi-bullet rebuttal to the accusations, though chiefly it admitted one hydroelectric semi-truck never moved under its own power.
Right. So they kind of got it pushed and rolling. And then
despite founder Trevor Milton telling media the truck was not a pusher.
Yeah, right.
The company carefully danced around the complaint. It staged a marketing video with camera tricks. It let the semi roll downhill without any powertrain supplying momentum.
Look at it go. Look at it go. Zero emissions.
I used to have a Rolls Gnarly.
What's that?
Rolls Gnarly?
Never heard of it.
Rolls down one hill, Gnarly, make it up the next.
Gotcha.
So anyway, it was staged. And then, they didn't have, they didn't have a lot of things. But they've sold, they have contracts with General Motors, with these trucking companies.
Hope the hydrogen economy is going to go, but you can't be faking it. You can't fake it until you make it.
They're not faking it.
We'll see.
So
we'll see how the investigation
goes. With GM. I think most of their technology is going to come from there.
Yeah. No, we'll see what happens. In other news, this is in Germany. Here's the headline. A woman dies after hospital is unable to treat her during a crippling ransomware infection. The cops are launching a probe. So basically, in Dusseldorf, a hospital was suffering from a week-long ransomware infection where the emergency department was shut down. Now, we already all know, according to Johns Hopkins, that the third leading cause of death in America after cancer and heart disease is medical errors. Yes, I know you're afraid of corona, but according to Johns Hopkins, 250,000 to 500,000 people die in America every year due to medical errors. So according to this article now, do we have to add IT problems too? Would that be under the medical error heading, or would that be under a whole different heading of how folks are going to die? But in this case, the folks here in Germany are going to go after the extortionware writers, and they apologized and gave the key right away, but they, of course, have been down for a week fighting this ransomware, and this poor lady passed because they had to send her 20 miles away to a hospital that actually could treat her. So the bad guys are out there attacking all sorts of institutions. We heard about Hartford, how they couldn't open their schools because they got hit with ransomware. Even after spending $500,000 on security, they still got hit. They say it was lessened because of that technology. Whatever, I believe that when I see it. But
yeah, I've got a good used car for sale. See, I think it's called a Rolls-Canardly.
Exactly. I'll put the link up here for you, and you can take a look at it. But again, it's if your hospitals aren't protecting themselves from ransomware infections, this could be something that we all have to deal with. And of course, thanks to fake money, cryptocurrency, you know, the bad guys get to infect your system and are able to extort you, and you don't know where they're from or who they are. And you have to transfer this money to get your data decrypted.
By the way,
yeah,
this year on your 1040, for the first time, there's going to be a new question. You want to know what it is?
Oh, brother. What is it?
Do you do any trading in cryptocurrency?
Oh, gosh. Not me.
So they're going to ask people, if you're doing that, well, the government's going to want to cut.
They need their piece. They need their piece. What else you got, Bob?
Okay. This year's spooky Halloween full moon brings a rare twist.
Yeah.
Okay. For the first time since World War II, 1944 to be exact, people in all parts of the world will be able to see the October 31st display. There'll be a full moon on Halloween.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen every year like it does in the movies.
Yeah.
So this year it's going to be, you'll be able to see the full moon anywhere in the world. So that's something that doesn't happen every year where the full moon falls on it. And the next time, if you miss it, it's going to be in 2039. So
I think we'll less have Halloween this year. I mean, we only have 2 coronavirus cases. They're probably going to lock that down.
Well, people will have to go and, you know, look out the window and,
yeah, I know.
You know, have their candy at home.
You know what we could do is maybe get one of those slingshots. You know how they use the slingshots to move T-shirts up in the stadiums that we used to go to.
Oh, yeah.
Just have the kids walk along the road, and then you could just take one of those slingshots or one of those bazooka T-shirt chuckers and zap the kids with the candy that way from a distance.
Yeah, but how do you know the candy, the wrappers aren't,
Well, you don't touch them. You don't, just load it and throw it, yeah. In other news, feeling bad about your last security audit? Check out what just happened to the U.S. Department of the Interior. Well, it starts with a backpack full of $200 worth of electronics and poor Wi-Fi security. So, of course, the same people, the U.S. government, who forced NIST 800-171 on all of our manufacturing clients who are scrambling and working and just busting their tails to secure their CUI data so that the Chinese don't get a drawing for an engine. Well, of course, the U.S. Department of the Interior spectacularly failed in its latest computer security assessment, mostly due to a lack of Wi-Fi defenses. And the Department of Interior is a company, the area that manages national parks and what have you. So I'm sure that the Department of Interior is not too worried, I guess. You know, they're just worried about Smokey the Bear. But they didn't do a very good job with their security. And they literally, these guys came in from the red team, and brought in a backpack full of Wi-Fi hardware so that they trick people who work within the buildings to log on to their access points and give up their security, give up access to data. They literally didn't follow the basic NIST requirements that the government themselves are enforcing on anybody in manufacturing who's building anything to do with aerospace or what have you. So, again, do as I say, not as I do. I mean, here in Connecticut, you know, 40-year-old computer systems are still in operation. It is not surprising that you'll find a situation like this with our government not following the NIST standards they're pushing on the rest of us.
So I wonder if those 40-year-old parts break down, if they have to find replacements on eBay.
Yeah, maybe. But we'll put a link here for this article. Anything we've talked about, we'll put links up over at computertalkwithtab.com, and you can kind of take a look at it. But again, NIST 800-171 is a compliance that we're working hard with our manufacturing clients to have them comply with. It has to do with all sorts of auditing and security that takes the whole scheme of it is many, many sections large, and you have to deal with security awareness training, you have to deal with active monitoring, you have to deal with filtering. And these guys literally walked in with $200 worth of Wi-Fi equipment and were able to get on the network in no time within a governmental building. I know half of you are out there saying, "Well, what are you saying, Eric? Are you surprised?" I'm not. No, I'm not surprised. but it is sad, I guess, maybe is really where I'm going, in that the government itself can't even follow its own rules.
Well, the government that makes the rules doesn't understand the rules they're making.
Maybe.
Because, you know, the people that write legislation, they're not the ones that write it, the ones that pass it.
Yeah.
Don't understand because they have other.
They haven't written it. Somebody else wrote it.
Isn't that called plagiarism?
Yeah, well. Yeah. So we'll put everything up here for you guys to take a look at, and links for you today. Feel free to get online. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We are live, and of course, we are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. Say hello over there and take a look at Bob and I. We're here live in the flesh, and feel free to say hello. Make sure you share the content so that Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy. And we'll do our best to help you out with computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Four lines wide open. It's usually easier to get on in the first hour than the second hour. So feel free to get on now, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Feel free to get online. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and we're going to be here live. And then we are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Joe in Litchfield first. What's going on, Joe?
Hi.
Morning.
How you doing, Eric? Good morning. Yes, my wife and I just got introduced to this Zoom group. We haven't been in it yet. We're supposed to go on Sunday.
Yeah.
We looked at each other going, okay, let's do it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not anything we're too excited about, comfortable with, because we don't know about its security. I know Zoom is extremely popular and used by everybody today. But,
sure.
Security-wise, I'm talking about for our computers. Is there any issues there?
Not really. The big security issues with Zoom was always just having folks join the meeting that weren't supposed to be there.
I see.
So as far as security in general, the Zoom software is secure. You don't have to worry about it being used nefariously. It's
what
just
about
that
it being recorded? We don't say recording this session. Somebody wanted to record it.
Oh, sure they could. You couldn't stop that.
That's
so
true, huh?
Yep. If you're in a Zoom meeting and you've got your camera up and you're saying something, there's absolutely nothing to stop the person or any of the folks involved from recording what's being said.
Okay.
So good
point. So we're there forever then.
Well, if somebody does record it, yes. I guess you have to really start thinking what they're going to, I mean, what kind of meeting you're at.
Yeah. This is not much about me. Yeah. It's a faith group.
Okay.
On Sunday, which we don't, this group aren't able to meet because there's a terrible situation going on in our state. Of course, we know how bad that is, right?
Yeah.
We can't meet, and so this is our second alternative.
This is your alternative. So as far as security goes, they should create a separate room And there should be a person that will admit you into the waiting room once that way they know it's you, Joe from Litchfield, calling in. That way you don't get anybody crashing your Zoom meeting. And, but as far as the software itself, it's secure. And yes, if somebody wants to record their screen, they could. Okay. And again, it's up to you as far as being concerned about that.
Yeah, I got it. Well, we'll probably go on, but with some reluctance. In any case,
okay.
That's the only question. We wanted to know that before we introduce ourselves this Sunday.
Yeah,
you don't have to share your screen, so people will just see whatever you're presenting in front of the camera and whatever you're talking about. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. They're not going to have access to your computer.
Okay. Is it difficult? Because we haven't been on it yet. Is it difficult to get on Zoom?
No, it's beyond simple.
Is it?
They're going to send you an invite. There's going to be a meeting room code number that you're going to key in, or the invite itself, the link itself will pre-fill that for you. And they should offer you a password so that, again, it's more secure that way. In the old days of the pandemic, folks were guessing the next room number. And so you had all sorts of weird people showing up in meetings and rooms because they guessed the next number. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go check out this Zoom meeting. And who knows what it would have been they would have shown up in. And, of course, they did all sorts of ridiculous things while they were in the Zoom meeting. But it should be very easy for you to use. Joe, I would recommend maybe you practice once. Do you have any family that have Zoom that you could practice with?
I don't have to check with my niece.
Is your niece at school?
She is, because she runs her business, and I think she probably has been using Zoom.
Yeah, so just do a quick run through with her, and then you'll be all set for your Sunday gathering.
Okay, we appreciate it very much for your help, and we'll be listening to you today.
Tell very good, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, you too. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So stick around. We'll be right back after the news. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. It's a lot easier for you to get online during the first hour than the second, generally. I know it's a beautiful Saturday morning, but feel free to get online. You're probably in a dump run, getting ready to do some yard work or whatever you're going to do out there. Feel free to give us a ring about your computer issues. We're here for you, whatever they are, technology issues, a lot of Wi-Fi issues out there. Cord cutting, whatever you want to chat about, we're happy to chat about it when it comes to IT-related issues. But let's go first to Joe here in Watertown. He is up first. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, how are you?
Good,
sir. How are you guys doing today?
Not too bad.
Good. I'm watching on the computer here, but I don't have the volume up, obviously.
Yeah, it'll get really confusing because we're probably even a further delay.
Yeah, it looks like there's a delay.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll be brief. I have a Toshiba satellite. It's a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
I have to leave the computer open because as I move this, when I try to close it, I lose the screen.
Yeah.
You know, so it's dying.
Yeah.
I just went to use my DVR, not my DVR, but my media player.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't used it in a while, and I tried to put a little video in there, and it wouldn't accept it, and it was telling me that the disk is empty, and I said, I know it's not empty. So I tried another one, and I'm not getting a video. But then I could play music on it.
Okay.
I could play music on it. So something keeps popping up. I can't even describe what it is. I don't know if Microsoft looks like they start charging or you have to buy something.
Well, it's probably digital rights. It's probably a digital rights issue here where you're probably – are you putting in a DVD?
Actually, no. It's a DVD, but it's a homemade one, you know.
Yeah, they shouldn't stop that. So your DVD player portion of your media player is may be blocking you. You shouldn't have to pay for anything, but there are digital rights management tools that mess with putting in certain DVDs. But what are you seeing, Bob?
Well, I've run into this problem, and it could be that his computer doesn't have an updated codec.
Right, for what you're putting in.
For what you're putting in.
Yeah.
So the solution that I use that I just found that we can do a link for you is you can run this VLC player. I found that that works very good.
A better it's a better software than the Microsoft one.
What was that again?
VLC player, and we'll put a link up so you can download it.
I think I remember seeing that when I was searching here about 10 minutes ago. I was searching for stuff before I decided to call.
And Bob's used it before.
And it's much better than Windows Media Player, which is very restrictive, actually.
See, I'm actually wondering if I should go ahead. This machine's about 6 years old, and I can't close it, you know, because I'm afraid I'll lose the screen, and these things are happening, and I just got to pull the trigger on getting a new machine.
Come on. Get up there. Go out and get a new system, Joe.
We give you permission.
My wife even gave me permission.
We even got it through committee, and you're not doing it yet?
When I look at the reviews on machines, I always look at the bad reviews first.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the wrong thing. I shouldn't be doing that.
You're always going to have an issue with something, right? There's always somebody who has an issue with something.
Yeah.
I mean, if the bad reviews start to outweigh the good ones, fine. I mean, heck, I've got a microwave oven, right? And it's a wall-mount microwave oven. And the little plastic wheels, there's a little bit of a buffer between where the little tray sits and spins around the microwave oven. And there's this little buffer, plastic buffer, that keeps the metal wheel from touching the actual microwave and sparking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've only had this silly microwave now for 3 years. Guess how many trays I've been on? Three.
Wow.
The little design eventually wears out, and the metal wheel touches the part of the microwave, and it sparks like crazy.
Yeah,
and this is a German-made microwave oven, really high-tech. I did a lot of research, and I'm still burned. Now, I'm going to give it a really bad review. I actually have to sit down and write it. But not always is it the case that you're going to should follow those bad reviews. People have bad luck with stuff, and then they'll never go back to that brand or what have you. It's paralysis by analysis, we call it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pull the trigger. I'm not sure if I even want to screw around and try to get download that VLC
player. Right. Maybe don't bother. Just go out and get a new laptop.
Yeah. The only trouble is the new laptops don't have CD drivers. So I'm going to have to use a satellite one or something.
An external one. You're going to have to get an external DVD player if you want to use your laptop as a DVD player.
Right. So.
Yeah. Why would you want to anyways? This was just, you know.
Well, I have a lot of DVDs, music ones and stuff like that. And
all right.
Plus, I also have some programs that are, what's the program I'm thinking of? I can't think of it right
That's
now.
Okay. Fair enough, though. Well, reason to use it.
Yeah, Quicken. When I bought Quicken this last time, I don't like downloading stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I like, give me a hard drive, and if I have to, I can always reload it.
Right.
So when you download stuff, if you've messed it all up or something like that, I don't think you could re-download it again unless you buy it again.
It can get difficult. If you don't have the right keys, or you don't put the information in the right spots, you can re-download it all you want, but you may have to repurchase because you've lost your key or you've lost your registration, which does happen.
Right.
When I buy stuff online, I download it to a folder. I have a folder I call Downloads, and then underneath folder I have drivers, apps, utilities, and, you know, me. What I do is I would put in a folder under apps for an app that I bought with the name of the app. Now, in the folder, I would put that download. But in addition, when they send me the email with the key, I would copy that email
step. I've even failed to do that, and I've had software that I can't reuse because I've not done that step.
Yes. I don't know. I just got off the – I don't want to hold you guys up, but I just was concerned, wondering if they – Microsoft had done something with the media player, you know?
Yeah, they always do. Yes, they're going to mess with the digital rights management, but your system is so old in this case, it just could be a problem with the DVD player itself. I would tell you to go ahead. Your wife gave you permission. Go get a new machine.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
All right, Joe.
I appreciate that.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so let's go on to another call real quick here. Let's go to Joe in Stafford Springs next. What's going on, Joe?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking a call.
Yeah.
I wonder if there are any security issues that might arise by using a digital wristwatch that syncs to your cell phone. I just purchased one this past week. I tried to avoid buying a Chinese one. I thought it was made in Japan, but it turns out it was made in China.
Mm.
And I use an app called CoreTrack and Dayband to download to sync it and so forth. And while I've been using this for the last 4 or 5 days, all of a sudden, I need to enter with my cell phone, also on my desktop. I have to, every time I go into my email, I have to put, I'm supposed to put my password in. I never used to have to do this every time I entered my email. I'm wondering if this has any connection to this wristwatch.
It does not. Never make that logical leap. So there are two disparate issues. So your first question as far as security and a digital smartwatch, should you be concerned? So yes and no. There's numerous stories that we brought up, you know, showing military bases that are, that might be anywhere in the third world or wherever they might be, literally showing the patterns of the military folks running around doing their calisthenics where their watches were being tracked. Because you have a tracker on there that deals with miles and steps and what have you. So there is a security risk in the fact that somebody knows where you're going. Right?
I see.
But if for the tool to work, it needs to have some idea as to where you're going. I mean, I would contend it doesn't need to know where you're going. It just needs to know that you're going. But there is a technical security risk there in that fact.
I see. I do have one other quick question.
Sure.
If I may. Mm-hmm. About two months ago, I purchased Norton LifeLock.
Sure.
Norton LifeLock, of course, comes with Norton 360.
Right.
And prior to the purchase of this 3 months ago, for the last 4 or 5 years, I'm using Norton 360. It's on my credit card, automatically billed in March. When I purchased Norton LifeLock just 2 months ago, I made them aware of the fact that I already had a subscription to Norton 360, but I wanted to delete that or have them delete it so that I could use all the features of Norton LifeLock Premium, which I just purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought they did that. Well, anyways, this past week, when I go into mynorton.com, I look at my account and so forth. It's there. And nowhere can I find Norton 360. Nowhere can I execute it. I called the company. Twice last week. I spoke to four different representatives.
Yep.
One of those representatives, actually, I gave him control over my computer.
Wow.
I gave him control because I told him I can't find the Norton 360.
Right.
It is not listed on my home screen. It's not, when I go into the search, Windows 10, and search for it.
Right. How about within security of Windows?
Bing.
Yeah.
When I do go into settings
and
list all my apps,
it
is listed there as Norton 360 with the date, but unlike all the other listings, it gives no megabytes for the size of the file. It's grayed out, the megabytes.
So sounds like you have a damaged installation.
But I don't know how to call it up, and they haven't been able to do it either, even when they took over my computer.
Yeah.
So did you go into the control panel and see if it was installed there under programs and features?
In settings, I went under. In settings, under apps. I didn't go into the control panel. But I have one question. Would it be, I'm surprised they didn't tell me to do this, would it be easy just to uninstall this? Uninstall what's in there and then go ahead and then they actually downloaded it, tried to download it, use the execution file seven times and it never downloaded. But they never told me to try to uninstall.
You should uninstall it. You need to clear it off your system. It's definitely damaged in some way. We can go see if there's a utility that'll help you uninstall it cleanly and then you can reinstall it. But yes, I'm surprised they didn't try to do that either for you. I'm shocked they haven't tried to do that for you. So, yeah, uninstalling it cleanly is cool. We can actually try to see if there's a removal tool. There probably is a Norton 360 removal tool that we can find, and then we'll put a link up there for you, all right?
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate your help.
You're welcome, Joe. Good luck out there, sir.
Yes, you too. Bye now.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I don't see anybody online right now, but we're here in the hermetically sealed studios here in East Hartford. And then, of course, Matt has to go and update our screen that we designed for him to let us know if everybody's on the line. But as we're waiting for your calls, and Bob, you're going to have to refresh for me too to help me out. I do want to talk quickly about smart watches. I got a big pet peeve of my smartwatch. I love my Galaxy smartwatch. It's a watch. It's a smartwatch that looks like a watch, right? It tracks my steps. It tracks my heartbeat. It tracks all sorts of great stuff about me. And I'm sure somebody else is tracking me as well. But it'd be nice if it knew that I had a lawnmower and not a bike. I do have a bike that I ride, but it thinks when I'm mowing the lawn that I'm cycling. You'd think it'd be smart enough to allow me to put in lawn mowing, because it's exercise. I have a push mower. It's self-propelled, I understand. But at least I'm walking, and I'm out there doing my thing, and it thinks I'm cycling. I'm not cycling. I'm mowing the lawn.
Well, maybe you're cycling the grass.
I'd have to be going so slow. I mean, I'm walking, for crying out loud. So why wouldn't it allow me to change what I'm doing, like including lawn mowing? Why does every athletic activity have to be listed except things that called work? You know, people do work, you know, and then part of that work moves around. You should get the credit for the step, not cycling credit for mowing a lawn. It's just bizarre.
Nobody mows their lawn anymore, do they?
I don't know. I do.
Well, I didn't mow mine most of the summer.
It was all dead, yeah, I know. But the point is, you'd think the technology would be smart enough to say, you know what, there's a couple people out there that do still mow their lawn, and they walk behind it. They're not sitting on a riding lawnmower, and I want my step credit, but nope. So what am I going to say? Well, we got a quick call. We're going to try to get in here before the top of the hour. We've got John on the road. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks very much. I love your show.
Thanks.
I have an old ThinkCenter that I picked up. It has an i7 processor, 8 gigabytes of RAM. But I leave it on, and every so often, I just lose the video. I'll come back to it, and I'll move the mouse or something like that, and I can't see anything. It's probably going to go into a sleep mode, but I can't recover it. There's no way. I tried. I had a wireless mouse, so I hooked up a wired mouse. Wasn't getting a signal there. I needed to wake it up out of its sleep. I went into the settings and shut off the power save mode, but I still lose it. So every so often, and it's sporadic. I don't know what's causing it, but I'll just lose. It'll just be a dark screen. The computer's on and running.
Yep.
And the only way I can get rid of it is by depowering it and then repowering it.
Power cycling, as we call it. Okay, have you tried attaching an external monitor to see if it stays on?
It does have this is a desktop.
Oh, it is a desktop. I'm sorry. I thought
it's a ThinkCenter. It's a refurb, so maybe that was the issue. So I don't know.
So you may want to check to see if you've got another video port. A lot of computers these days have multiple video outputs. Maybe that one is not working really well.
It's an older one. It only has... I think it only has the VGA.
Okay.
And I'm using the integrated graphics card as part of the motherboard. So
all right.
I'm not even using an external graphics card.
All right. Then are you sure it's not the monitor?
No, it's a brand new monitor.
All right. So it's not the monitor. So your video is failing, I think we're going to have to safely say. It either overheats or finally just fails. And then you by rebooting it wakes it back up again.
Well, you know, the other thing in your power setting, I would check the hard drive and all the settings to make sure that it doesn't go into hibernate at all. Especially a lot of times it wants to turn off your hard disks after so many minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that.
It should be never.
I'm betting it's your video card, John.
All right. I mean, it could be. I mean, maybe I could try a different monitor to see if that's still having any effect. I think you're right. It might be that.
I think it's your card, yeah. And if it's a refurb, I wouldn't spend too much money on it. But thanks for calling in. We're at a hard break here, but I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.